2SM's news director, Glenn Roach.
When 2SM first peaked as a music station, the emphasis was, naturally enough, on playing as many top 40 records as possible, plus brief newscasts, about 3 minutes, and on Saturdays and Sundays, Frank Hyde's top-rating rugby league calls. As 2SM grew, so did the audience. We did some research, but it was probably gut feel as much as anything, that indicated we weren't satisfying them with the old formula of 3 minutes of news delivered in a staccato style by a high-powered newsreader. So 2SM News started to expand. We paid top money for top people, the best on-the-spot news people in Australia, the best radio writers, producers and interviewers. We already had top current affairs man Steve Liebman, we stole him from 2UE, and we convinced Brian White that after years at 2GB making his Today Show something of a legend in radio news, that he should join us, do the same job, but do it with his coat and tie off. So in mid-1976, we started what the Sydney newspapers called conversational news. It wasn't exactly that, but it was information, factual, and above all, interesting. Brian White explains.
I think I can best explain our approach to news by saying that we feel most radio stations take it far too seriously. Above all else, for listeners to care about what they hear, they have to be interested in it. Just because something is important doesn't mean it's interesting, and the tendency has been too much to think that people actually care about news even when it's dull. And unless you try to put things in context and offer at least some explanation of what it's all about, even the most interesting news can be made to sound dull. That's what we try to defeat. Instead of news just being something that has to be done because people expect radio to do it, our objective is to create the feeling that they must remember to tune in at the time of our reports to hear what we have to say.
Let's look at breakfast news in Sydney. Seven radio newsrooms in this city have one thing in common. Between 6 and 8.30, they take a lead from Steve Liebman's reports.
It's 8 o'clock and this is the Liebman Report. From today, police will be relying on help from the public in their hunt for the killer or killers of Senior Constable Doug Eaton at Toronto, south of Newcastle, late on Saturday night. As they scale down the search in the area around the murder scene, they admit they have at this stage no real clue to the identity of the wanted men and that they're now probably out of the district. Glenn Roach is one of two of our newsmen working on this story from search headquarters near Newcastle. Glenn, do they really have anything to go on at this stage?
Well, Steve, police say they have a few minor leads, sketchy descriptions of the killers who were wearing military-type balaclavas, a description of a cream-coloured sedan which they think was stolen, no idea at all about the motive, and that's really it. They're following a few theories, but at this stage it's pure speculation.
Yeah, are they prepared to say whether they believe the offenders are locals or fellas from out of town?
Well, I was talking to a few of the boys who were up from Sydney last night. They said they there was some speculation that they could have been from interstate. There are no outstanding prisoners who would be desperate from New South Wales, but other than that, they say it's not the normal type of crime, naturally, that occurs around the Newcastle area. It's more something that does happen in Sydney or Melbourne, but they just really don't know. I think they're clutching at straws at this stage.
Yeah, at this stage, one's inclined to say they were also amateurs, because the last thing a hardened crim wants to do is kill a policeman.
Well, that's right, and as one detective told me, this club's been done so many times recently, and the break-and-enter of people have always got away. All these two guys had to do was run into the bush and they wouldn't have been seen of again, but instead they opened fire and Doug Eaton died and his partner Ed Gill almost died.
Yeah, I understand that Constable Eaton's body will be cremated tomorrow.
That's correct, probably tomorrow afternoon. There has been a slight new development, Steve. I was talking to a doctor at Newcastle's Mater Misericordia Hospital where the wounded policeman is. He revealed they've just found another bullet in the wounded policeman's left arm. They x-rayed the constable overnight, Ed Gill, and found the bullet lodged in his arm. They'll have to remove that today, obviously, before he can be released from hospital. So it now turns out that he was shot in each thigh, at the back of the skull, and in the left arm. So he really did come very close to death on Saturday night.
Yeah. Okay, old mate. Glenn Roach reporting from Newcastle, scene of the manhunt for the man or men wanted for the murder at the weekend of Senior Constable Doug Eaton at the Toronto Club. It's 2.5 minutes after eight. Fatal accidents around Australia are a dime a dozen these days, but a fatal accident in the Canberra suburb of Turner yesterday afternoon is arousing more than the usual amount of attention in the national capital today. Mark Collier from our Canberra newsroom's on the line. Mark, a policeman's mother is dead, and the man driving the car that allegedly killed her, it would seem, will escape complete prosecution.
That's right, Steve. Well, the case involves diplomatic immunity, and for that reason it's a very sensitive one. Police here aren't saying much. Unofficially, it seems that a 19-year-old youth, subsequently found to be from one of our embassies here in Canberra, was driving up to an intersection in the suburb of Turner. travelling at 80 kilometres per hour in a 60 zone. It went straight through a give-way sign and hit a car coming from the right. The 69-year-old passenger, the mother of a policeman, is dead. The driver of the other car, the woman's husband, is in Canberra Hospital in a serious condition.
Yeah, well, that sort of thing happened on a couple of occasions when I lived and worked in Canberra, and the next thing that usually occurred was that the man, if he came from an embassy, was whisked out of the country at very short notice.
I don't know if that's happening, but I know what happened after the accident. He was taken to Canberra Hospital and treated for minor injuries. He refused to answer police questions, claiming diplomatic immunity. Other members from the same embassy arrived on the scene. Police checked with Foreign Affairs, and in fact, he was covered. So he refused to answer questions. He couldn't be given a breathalyzer test. He couldn't be given a blood test. And he left with embassy officials. Presumably, he's in the embassy at the moment, and police are trying to arrange an interview through Foreign Affairs.
I wish them luck. Thanks for the story. Mark Collier, reporting from Canberra, 8:04. Brian White.
Australians are really going to the dogs, you know. Not only do we eat all the wrong sort of food, but even our cricket team can't dress properly. We're told today that in our eating, we take in too much fat, too much protein, and too much refined carbohydrate. Dietitians from around the world will be gathering here this week to tell us what we should eat, even if their feature dinner will include all the things they tell us we shouldn't. Thick steaks, potatoes, and rounding off with pavlova. But while our insides may be shot to hell, it's the cause of our cricketers, or it's the outside of our cricketers, that is supposedly causing a fuss. The Sydney Telegraph reports today that the team's manager in England will tell the players today that they must smarten themselves up. A habit of wearing bits and pieces of tracksuits appears to be causing the main trouble. According to the report, things plummeted to an all-time low at the weekend when one player went into the dining room of the Waldorf in football jumper, track pants and bare feet. Hadn't he even heard of thongs? I suppose he pulls them on for evening wear.
2SM set something of a precedent when we started the new news style. If something happened anywhere, we had the people live in the report.
On the line from the sheriff's office in Dallas is Sheriff Tony Rattery. Sir, can you tell us the official toll at the moment?
Well, we've got a 66 affirmative fatalities.
You have recovered that many bodies?
Right.
Is there any chance of more bodies being in the wreckage?
Yes, sir. They're still finding bodies.
Are most of the people passengers?
Right. There was some people on the ground, about four or five.
Putting the 2SM reports together as a team, 12 top journalists, senior federal parliamentary correspondent Graham Howard, Brian White and Steve Liebman, news cars with the best electronic gadgetry available, and something unique, a Bell Jet Ranger 206B, the jet helicopter of the Wales 2SM Rescue Service.
At the moment, the Wales 2SM Rescue helicopter over the worst of the fires at Dural, directly below us, some 1,500 feet below us, we can see flames leaping possibly 30, 40 feet into the air. The worst bank of flames would be approximately 20 to 25...
The thing that probably has the most impact on the most people is the weather. Sydney people, being cynical, are sure that all weather forecasters use the old throwing the dart at the wall trick to decide whether it will rain or shine. They also seem to be sure that one guy, meteorologist Alan Wilkie, is a damn good dart player.
Good morning, it's 8:05 and this is the Liebman Report. Well, more than an inch and a half of rain has fallen over Sydney since it began falling yesterday. The shame of it all is that whilst it's pelting down here, those who need it most, the people on the land, haven't had very much. Alan Wilkie, I gather this wintry weather's going to continue. Also notice, by the way, that there's a gale warning current for ocean waters near Sydney.
Yes, Steve, the reason for the gale warning, of course, is a low pressure centre just off the coast, a couple of hundred miles anyway, east of Sydney, and that's stirring up the seas and the winds out there, and we're going to get fresh to strong and gusty southerly winds here in Sydney today, and certainly more rain.
I don't know whether you've noticed it or not out your neck of the woods, but there's been considerable thunder and lightning in the past half hour or so.
Yes, we've just had a crash up here a moment ago. Looks as if we'll have some more of that too. The reason, of course, very unstable conditions in the upper atmosphere, and we'll have more thunderstorms through the day, but they should start to taper off later on.
Alan, is it much the same throughout the metropolitan area in the outer and inner suburbs?
Yes, I'd say almost identical right throughout the metropolitan area.
I mentioned, sounds like another one now.
Yeah, that's a beauty.
Okay, I'll talk to you again a little later.
The big game in Sydney is, of course, rugby league. 2SM's Frank Hyde calls the games, and the ratings show that his descriptions on Saturday and Sunday afternoons are so far ahead of the competitors that it's a one-horse race.
The Rugby League, Frank Hyde, Manly. Last year's premiers, they've lost four games on the trot. They could lose the fifth when they meet Easts on Wednesday in the Amco Cup. Can they make up the lost ground?
Well, they're certainly in real trouble, Steve. They're 6 points behind the leading team, Parramatta, and even 3 points behind the sixth team. So you can imagine what they have to do to make up lost ground. They're building their hopes on Norton coming back to join them, but he would need to be Superman to lift them out of the slump they're in at the present time. I just can't see any future for Manly at this stage in the competition, to be honest.
24-8. Shane, just a quick look at the waves, mate.
Well, we can't see on the south side, Steve. The fog's still there, but north of Manly, it's not too bad. It's fairly clear, and you've got places like Warriewood. North Narrabeen looking better than it's looked for a little while. Still not really good. North Avalon looking good, but the best, still the best, is DY Point, and it's magic.
2SM News, made up of many different ingredients. It's information, but above all, it's interesting.
14 degrees in town at 24-8. I'm Steve Liebman, back at 8. 12.